Galatians chapter 3 today. And I'm going to cover a lot of verses today, which I haven't done in the morning service in a long time. It's been 2 to 5, and we have a whole bunch today. A lot of information, but it completes the thought that it starts. So I figured we should probably go ahead and do that if we're going to start studying it. The title of the message is Danger, and Paul is going to present a danger today, and we'll look at that. Now, but before I get started, I want to tell you a story of something real neat that happened to me this week. It started 4 years ago, the events of this week. I started coaching at the middle school, coaching football, and I had a group of boys, which was Justin Barham was in that group of boys. I was coaching football there at the school, and I got to build a relationship with all those kids, and now that's the senior class this year. But it started 6 years ago. I've been developing those relationships. This last year, the end of the school year, I spent some time with Justin and a kid, Chris, who had come to youth group, and I would work out with him at the high school, come here, I'd cook breakfast for him, we'd have a little Bible study talk. Through that, Chris, one of the kids, trusted in Christ to save him, and, you know, started 6 years ago, Justin being a faithful friend. This past week, Chris's little brother, who is now in eighth grade, talked to Chris and said, Chris, you know, Chris is talking to him about salvation. Chris, I want to know what it means to be saved. So Chris texts me, says, hey, Ben, will you come over to my house? My brother wants to get saved. So this week, I got to lead a young teenager, eighth grader, to Christ. And there were some other people there who listened to it. And the mom is interested, apparently. And it's just so cool to see God working, which it's taken time. But here we are down the road, and it's just a confirmation of the importance of God allowing me to be in the school, to be coaching, to be building those relationships with kids. I get to spend more time with some of the high school kids on the basketball team than their parents do, honestly. But just wanted to share that story. It made my week right there. So Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. As we get into our study today, remember the context. Remember where we're coming from. Remember where we've been. Remember what we've studied. There are Judaizers, and they're promoting keeping the law, doing these works, keeping these ceremonies, and adding Jesus to that for true salvation. Paul is combating that. The Galatians are being sucked away into that false gospel, into that false doctrine, I guess, that is being promoted. Paul is going to look back to the Old Testament and try and to direct the people back to the truth from there. So we're going to look all the way back to Abraham today, talk about Abraham. And Paul is going to point these people to salvation by grace through faith by going back to Abraham. And we'll talk about the details there. But he is going to expose the danger of trusting in the law for justification. Danger defined exposure or vulnerability to harm or to risk. We understand what a danger sign is for. Danger signs don't protect you from, they make you aware of. Have you thought about that? Like danger, high voltage, you can still open it up and grab onto it. It's a sign warning you about it. I had some experience with this when I was in college. I had a job working asbestos abatement. And you've seen the commercials for mesothelioma and all the fun diseases that you get 15 years after you slaved away in asbestos-ridden territories. But what had happened? To get this job, to work this job, you had 40 hours of sitting down, textbook, watching videos, guy talking to you about the dangers of asbestos. There was a little bit in there of how to actually remove it. Most of it was the dangers. Do this, don't do that, wear your mask. One of the things that they emphasized was that if you smoke while you are working while you're even in the field, while you're even exposed to asbestos, it ups your chances by like 50% to getting mesothelioma. And the dangers were there. 40 hours of the instructions. This kid who I worked with, he smoked, and we were in this one containment where we had supplied air, full face masks. I mean, there is asbestos flying everywhere. So much of it, you can almost see it. And there's these big things called AFDs. They sit in the corner. They suck all the air to try to pull the asbestos into these filters and shoot that air outside after it filters out the asbestos. So by this big machine, by this big AFD, I look over and I see this kid in containment with his mask off smoking a cigarette. So the dangers were presented, and he is in the full face of it. He's totally disregarding all the warning signs that were given. My point is that he knew how silly what he was doing was, and he continued to expose himself in containment where I don't even think about taking my mask off in that situation. I had a hornet sting me on the ear, and I was freaking out, but I still had to keep my mask on getting attacked by the hornets. But just because there's a danger doesn't mean that people are going to listen to it or heed the dangers. As we go along, Paul will clearly show the danger of trusting in the law for justification. He will also show the blessing brought by faith. He will clearly prove his point through the scriptures that salvation is by grace through faith. But we know that there were still those that rejected it. We know that that happened. And there are still those today that will reject the truth of salvation by grace through faith. Those people will say that you're ignorant for believing in that, or you're confused, or whatever. The evidence is in Scripture for salvation by grace through faith, yet there's still those who will reject it. It's crazy how people will put their ideas, their philosophies, over God's, over what God has said, over the truth God has given. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that you have revealed to us. I thank you for giving your Son to be the perfect, sinless sacrifice that can redeem us from the curse of the law. I pray that you will just open our minds today. Please help us to see your truths. Please work on our hearts. Please help us to be what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's go back to verse number 6. Let's break this down phrase by phrase, word by word, as we normally do. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Those terms, believed, that it says in verse number 6, even as Abraham believed, means to have faith or to entrust. We understand that term. Even as Abraham believed, he had faith, he trusted in God, and it was accounted
to him. Accounted means to take inventory or to conclude. So Abraham believed God. He had faith in God, and something was concluded because of that faith. What was concluded? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He was justified. He was declared righteous at a right standing with God. Why? Because of works? Because of what he had done? No. Because of his faith in God. Paul takes their minds, the people he's talking to, takes their minds all the way back to Abraham. Abraham was the father of the Hebrew people, the patriarch of Judaism. Judaizers probably pointed back to Abraham too, saying he was circumcised, you must be too. Remember what they were fighting for? The ceremonies, keeping the laws, keeping these things. And I can see them looking back saying, hey, Abraham had to be circumcised to be truly righteous, to be truly saved. But let's examine that thought, that philosophy there, and see how it actually worked out. Where is Paul going with this? What direction is he taking their minds? What is Paul trying to do? He's trying to point them to justification, salvation by faith. And we'll see that. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And we'll be in Genesis for a couple minutes at least. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And I will make of thee a great nation. So the Lord's talking to Abram here, which we know his name is now Abraham. God's talking to Abram here. He's going to give him a promise. He says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Does that sound like familiar wording from in Galatians? If it doesn't yet, it will in a minute. So in Genesis 12, God makes a promise to Abraham. Flip over to Genesis 15, verse number 6. These words should sound really familiar. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? Righteousness. How was righteousness in Abraham accomplished? Faith. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Genesis chapter 17, verse number 10. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. So Abraham was declared righteous by faith before this command was given. Right? That happened in chapter 15 when Abraham believed God. Then we find this command in chapter 17. If you'll go back, if you'll do the math between Genesis 15 and Genesis 17, you'll find that there was about 14 years of time elapsed there. So Abraham was justified by faith 14 years before this ceremony was even given. Do you see the hole in the argument where Abraham had to keep this ceremony and do this and do that and keep this in order to be justified? It's a flawed thought, a flawed philosophy. He believed in God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The circumcision, as we saw in verse 11, was just a token. It was a signal. It was a mark. It was a sign of what God, of God's covenant, of God's relationship with Abraham. Abraham was declared righteous by faith. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Does that sound familiar, those words? How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Verse number 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet, being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So that argument, look at Abraham, look what he did. He did this, you have to do this, falls apart when it's examined, when it's compared with Scripture. Circumcision was a mark, a sign. It was not the means of salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. We are incapable of earning it. And even the Old Testament history proves that. Verse number 7 of Galatians chapter 3. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So those who are of faith, those who have put their faith in Christ alone for salvation, are children of Abraham. And that seems kind of crazy to think about. Well, I'm a child of Abraham. What are you talking about there? Spiritual sonship is through faith, not necessarily DNA. And I know you can go all the way back and make family trees all the way and it'll find its way somehow to Abraham. But what's talked about here is that spiritual sonship is through faith. This is not a new idea with the Galatians. Jesus spoke on this in John chapter 8, 37 through 45. I'll just have you write that down if you want. Look that up later because time's going fast. And then Paul talked about this idea in Romans chapter 4. You can look at that one. Romans chapter 4, verse number 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Faith. Faith. It's accomplished by faith, not works. Spiritually speaking, those of faith are the children of Abraham. And this helps make sense to me, that song, Father Abraham. Anybody teach children's church or ever been in children's church? And you have that song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, then you wiggle your right arm. Go all the way through until you're shaking and spinning in circles and getting dizzy. As a kid, I loved that song, always requested that song. As working in children's church, let's not sing that every week. But it's teaching the children a truth that Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them, and so are you. Let's praise the Lord. It's through faith. It's not through ceremonies. It's not through traditions. It's not through the keeping of the law. And we'll talk about the keeping of the law in a second. So, spiritually speaking, those of faith are the children of Abraham. Verse number 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In Genesis chapter 12, 3, we looked at that. We saw God made a promise to Abraham. The Scriptures foresaw. We can look back to Genesis 12, 3, see a promise that was made to Abraham. Paul looks back and he explains this promise that the Scripture was foreseeing that was going to happen. He's going to explain it here in verse number 8. The word gospel mentioned there. I don't know if that jumped out to anybody. You're saying, what are you talking about? The gospel unto Abraham. Well, the word gospel here means to announce glad news in advance. And the word that it's, the words that it uses to describe this Greek word are preached before the gospel. And this Greek word has 16 letters. It's like this long. It's to pronounce it, pro-you-ang-hel-ids-omai. That's a long, long, long word. But what it means is to announce good or glad news in advance. And think about the good news that is described here, the good news that is given. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. What's the heathen talking about there? It's talking about the Gentiles, those who are not of full Jewish bloodline. That's good news for us, that the Gentiles can be saved by faith. That he would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And this happens, this justification happens through faith. Verse number 8 also promises a blessing to those who are justified by faith. And then if we go down to verse 9, it continues the same thought. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Blessed means to invoke blessing, self-explanatory term. Faithful is talking about believing. I want to look at Ephesians 1:3. I'll just read it real quick. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ brings blessing. That's a big blessing in itself, the fact of salvation. And think about what else that blessing includes. Think of the blessing of your salvation. The fact that God cares about you, that he would send his son to die on the cross for your sins, to rise again from the dead, giving you a way to be declared righteous by faith. Think of the blessings that come with that. Think of the fact that God loves us, that God gives his grace, that God gives his mercy, that God gives his freedom, that God gives his peace. Romans 5, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. A whole list of blessings brought by justification that Christ brings to us when we are saved. Let's move on to verse number 10. Here is the warning. Here's the danger. The title of the message, danger. Here's where we find it. Verse number 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Think about this. This is just a thought before we get into the verse. The Judaizers stressed the necessity of the keeping of the Mosaic law for salvation. We know that. We've talked about that for months now. What about Isaac, Jacob, Enoch, Noah, and the other Old Testament believers who lived before the written law was even given to Moses by God? What does that mean for them? If they had to perfectly keep this law, what does it mean if the law, the written law, wasn't even given yet? They can't keep it if they don't, if it hasn't been given. So how do we find them in Hebrews chapter 11? Because salvation isn't by keeping of the law. It's not of works. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. The Judaizers and the Galatians should have known salvation does not come by circumcision or of the law, but by faith. Verse number 10 says, there is a curse for those trying to live in the law. That's the danger sign. Hold on, there's a curse? You're saying there's a possible curse? And it's the danger is that it's for those trying to live in the law. Where is Paul getting his information? Deuteronomy 27:26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. Confirmeth is talking about to abide, to accomplish, or to perform. Those who trust in the works of the law to save them are obligated to keep the entire law without exception. To not do that and to try to live in that brings a curse. A big problem with trying to live in a perfect obedience to the law is that it's impossible. We know that. Romans, for all have what? Who's included in all that? All. Everybody. The inability to keep the entire law does not bring justification. It brings a curse. So the very thing that these Judaizers are trusting in for salvation is bringing upon them a curse. A curse defined is a judgment that brings condemnation. What's that condemnation? They're still dead in their trespasses and their sins because they're not trusting in Christ alone to forgive them from those sins. Those trusting in the law, trying to live in the law, were trusting in their own righteousness and God and not God's. They were unable to keep the law and unwilling to submit to grace. That's such a crazy thought of not willing to submit to grace. Here we have something given to us that we didn't deserve, that we didn't earn. And these people that we're reading about are not willing to submit to this free gift of God. They just want to keep doing and trying to be better and trying to accomplish more in their own strength, leaving themselves under a curse, forsaking grace, this free gift that's given. They placed themselves under God's wrath instead of his blessing. That's a crazy thought. Willingly placing themselves under wrath instead of just trusting in God and receiving the blessing. And we can say, that's crazy. I can't believe they do that. But that's still going on today. People are still trying to earn favor with God, trying to earn their way to salvation. And that is frustrating grace. The grace has been freely given. Verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Evident means that it's clear. So, but that no man is justified in the law in the sight of God is clear. For the just shall live by faith. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Think about that thought. Because who else's view matters? When you're talking about your eternal soul and you're seeking for justification, who else's view matters besides God's view? We can trick people, but God still knows. People can put on a good show. I do right all the time, you know, in their personal image of people. But hey, God knows. God knows the truth. He knows that we can't fully and completely keep all the laws. Living by the law equals failure and condemnation. Living by faith equals justification and eternal life. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Romans chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The just shall live by faith. And I want to key in on that word, live. The just shall live by faith. We know as believers that in our daily walk, in our daily lives, we are to live by faith. We're supposed to trust in God. We're supposed to believe him, to trust in him, to do what he'd have us to do. But I want you also to think about the just shall live by faith. Faith offers true life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, what? Life. True life. And that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse number 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. There is no hope in the law. It must be kept perfectly to do any good. And we've talked about that is not possible. And that's whether by actions or by attitude. And you can talk to people and they can say, oh, I'm a great person. I'm okay with God. Me and God have an understanding. I've heard that one. And people thinking that they are good enough somehow to get to God. Well, if you go to James chapter 2, verse 10, if you're guilty of breaking one command, you're guilty of them all. You haven't kept the law perfectly. And you can go through the Ten Commandments and you can show people how they've broken at least one. And then you break it down by attitudes, which Jesus does in Matthew 5, verses 22 and 28, if you remember that conversation. But even the attitude against the breaking of the law is the breaking of the law. Faith offers life. Law brings a curse. The choice seems simple. What happened that might, what happened that we might be free from the curse of the law? So it's been a little bad news there. You can't keep the law. You can't be perfect. Trying to keep the law leaves you cursed, dead in your trespasses and sins. So what's some good news? Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ redeemed us. Some of the most beautiful words that we can ever hear. Redeemed, the payment of a price to recover from the power of another. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, left in a curse. It also means to ransom, to buy off, to rescue from loss. So we were, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That happens by faith. But it cost Christ his life. Grace is a free gift for us. Salvation is a free gift for us. But Christ had to pay for it. It cost him his life. The perfect sinless lamb that was slain for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, there's that word, with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. So that's what doesn't redeem us. Here's what does. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He paid a price that the law never, ever could. The law makes us aware of our sins. It cannot save us from our sins. Galatians 3, verses 24 and 25. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The law makes us aware. The law is like that danger sign, making us aware. It's by faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work that we can be freed from the curse of the law. He gave himself, he took our place, he became a curse for us. And I can picture Paul pleading with these people. He paid for it in full. Why are you still trying to earn it? Making it so much harder than it has to be. Then reading on in the verse, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And you can look back to Deuteronomy 21, 23. Now, if you want the Old Testament passage for that. But I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It's because of Jesus Christ and his shed blood and his sacrifice that we even have a hope of being redeemed. Because trying to follow the law, trying to do good works, can never, ever, ever put us at a right standing with God. It's only by faith in Christ. Verse number 14 of Galatians chapter 3. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Christ redeemed us by grace through faith. It's because of Christ. Through faith in Christ, we share in the blessing of Abraham. And again, we get to think of the blessings that justification brings. We talked about love, about grace, about peace, about mercy. How about freedom from the curse of the law? I'm so thankful for that. All of it is ours through faith in Christ. We also receive the Spirit through faith at the moment of salvation. You know, we spent more time talking about the Holy Spirit last week and what accompanies that, the works that he does, how he helps in our lives. But with the Holy Spirit, he helps us, he comforts us, he guides us, and he helps us display the right characteristics. And you can read those in the end of Galatians chapter 5. But the blessing and the Spirit only come by faith, not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's only by grace through faith that salvation comes. Paul is chopping away at the false works-based gospel. Justification by grace through faith equals life. Trying to keep and live in the law brings bondage, brings danger, brings failure, and ultimately brings a curse. Defending salvation by grace through faith, Paul presents a danger. Danger signs protect and danger signs warn. The warning has been given to these people, and it still holds true today, that the only way to be redeemed from the curse of the law, the only way for true salvation, is by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The warning sign has been given. What are you trusting in for salvation, to save you from your sins? And I know many of you have been coming here for years or would claim what I said before I even said it, that salvation is by grace through faith. But maybe there's someone who has been trusting in your good deeds, who has been trying to add to the gift that God has given, trying to trust in things that can never save you, that can never free you from the curse of sin, from the bondage of sin. What are you trusting in? I would like you to think about that today, because salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And then a challenge to everyone else, do you praise God like you should for becoming the curse for you? Play that in your mind of what Christ went through. That's unbelievable that he would do that for us sinners who don't deserve one bit of it. But he would do that. He would go through that for us. He would pay our sin debt so that we could escape the penalty of sin. That's an amazing gift. That's an amazing sacrifice. And I fear that as we go down the road from the moment of our salvation, there's a temptation to view that as old news and to not place the value on it that there actually is, and to truly praise God for the gift that he gave to us. He deserves all of our praise just for the fact that he did that he would die for us, besides everything else, all the other blessings that he gives for you. So what are you trusting in for salvation? And then do we praise God like we should? He's done so much for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this reminder from your word. I thank you for the fact that you would be willing to free us from the curse of the law, that you would do something for us we are incapable of doing ourselves. I thank you for salvation that you freely offer. I pray that you will help me to praise you like I should for all that you have done for me. Please work in our hearts today. Please help us, strengthen us. I pray that if there's anyone who has not trusted in you as the only payment for their sins, I pray that today would be that day, that they would ask questions, that they would find answers. Please work. Please help us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.